This is the glorious day God has made, and he has called us to worship him. So before I begin, I would like to share these words to all the fathers under the sound of my voice on this morning. I want to say to you, Happy Father's Day. That's right. Happy Father's Day to you, dads. Why? Because fatherhood is an extremely important responsibility. In fact, the latest U.S. Census revealed that 60% of the 121 million dads in the USA are fathers. 60% of the 121 million adult men in the United States are dads. And it estimates, it gives that 26.1 million of those dads are married with children under the age of 18. Millions and millions of those fathers have the blessing of impacting and influencing their children and directing their lives. Amen? Now the challenge comes. The challenge comes when a dad decides how involved he will be in his child's life. And that decision, the decision of involvement in a child's life, is hugely important, as we are going to see in a few minutes. Now, reading from the text that we are going to explore together this morning, reading the introduction of the book of 1 Kings in the African Study Bible, we find these words. We find the words about King David instructing his son Solomon and his successor. His instructions remind me of a good African father in the late days of his life who calls his children together and give them his final instructions and blessings. Oh, David. David challenged Solomon to become courageous, he says, to act like a king, and to carefully follow God by obeying his word in all the days of his life. David reminded Solomon of God's promise to him, and this is the promise that God gave to the Israelite, that God gave to David. So David reminded his son Solomon of this promise. He says, if your descendants live as they should and follow me faithfully with all their hearts and soul, one of them will always sit on a throne of Israel. Fast forward in the history and where we are today, as Solomon rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, on a mule, we know that the one sitting on a throne of Israel today rode on the same road because he remained faithful to God. So today, I want to be able to share with you, what does it take to be an involved dad? What does it take to be an involved dad? So I want to encourage you, dads, today. Why do I want to encourage you? Because fathering is an incredible privilege. The one we should thank God for every single day. Now, I know that in fathering there are also headaches. And you're saying, remove the headaches away from this. But that's a part of the blessings that God brings to us, stretches us, and makes us into the people he wants us to do. So I want to encourage you today. Why? Because fathering is an incredible opportunity that God has given us. Why should we thank God for fatherhood? Because fatherhood is a calling. It is a calling far more important than anything else we may be called to do in this life. Our children are an ongoing gift. An ongoing gift that we live to this world through which we will impact generations and generations and generations to come. Therefore, in encouraging dads, there are at least three things that I would like to zero in on today. Now, you may be sitting there, you're thinking, Pastor K, are you only going to be talking to dads? No, this is the word of God. There is something that God has for you, for every single one of us this morning. Now, there are dads who have had the privilege and opportunity to actually father children. But all of us, as dads, as men, we are called to be fathers. Even a surrogate father, a mentor. What you are going to hear here this morning, I hope encourages you. So don't check out on me thinking, no, this is only for dads. This is for all of us sitting in this space. This is for all of us following the words this morning, because God has something for you. Amen? He has something for you. So I'm going to walk through three steps that I would like you to walk with me through this morning as we look at the book of 1 Kings. The first step I want to walk through is, I want dads to remember that fathering must be intentional. It must be intentional. It cannot just happen haphazardly. We must be involved intentionally in the lives of our children. Mentorship calls for the same thing. We've got to be intentional. Secondly, I want to talk with us today and go to remember, to encourage dads to remember that fatherhood must be loving. And in a few minutes, we're going to dive a little bit deeper into this. Though fatherhood must be intentional, secondly, fatherhood must be loving. And lastly, or third step, I want dads to remember that fathering needs to be spiritual. So remember intentionality, remember love, remember the spiritual aspect of what we are called to do as fathers. So if you have the book, this book, if you have a Bible, I would like you to turn to the book of 1 Kings. And we're going to look at the book of 1 Kings chapter 2. We are going to walk through verse 1 through 10. And there you are going to find at least these three steps highlighted there, that fathers must be intentional, fathers must be loving, and fathers must be spiritual. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 through 10, we find a conversation that took place about 7 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, when a dad decided to provide advice to his son, and this advice is being provided to you today, and this advice is priceless. 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. We find King David giving a charge to Solomon, which I believe could be beneficial to all fathers, grandfathers, and frankly to all believers who want to wisely invest in the lives of our children. Listen. Listen to what David says to Solomon. 1 Kings chapter 2, I'm going to read to your hearing, verse 1 through 4. This is what David says. When the time drew near for David to die, he gave charge to Solomon, his son. What did he say to Solomon? He said, I'm about to go the way of the earth. So be strong, act like a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. What does the Lord your God requires? He says, walk in obedience to him and keep his decrees and commands and his laws and the regulations as written in the law of Moses. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go. So that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go. Then he goes on. He doesn't stop there. So that you may prosper in whatever you do and wherever you go. So that's what he tells David. He tells Solomon. Keep this promise. Do this so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. And what is the promise? I reminded you of this earlier. If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their hearts and soul, you will never fail to have a successor on the throne of Israel. So David's last words of advice to Solomon is like a verbal handing over of power. And it's really meant to help this young ruler start off well in his work. So you can see and hear the intentionality of David. It seems as if David had already given Solomon much advice before this time. Because he's saying, now, Solomon, if you do these things, God is faithful and is going to fulfill the promise that he gave to me. For example, in the book of 1 Chronicles, and you can look at this when you get home. In the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 28 tells us of a great deal of instructions to the elders about the plans for the building of the temple that David laid out before them. King David was intentional in his charge to Solomon. He called him to say, be obedient to all the law of God. And really reminded him, now Solomon is a king. And David is a king and is passing on the throne to Solomon. He's saying, even though you are the king, there is an ultimate king. The one who's in charge of everything, all of the universe. And what I'm calling you to do, my son, is be obedient to the ultimate king. That's what he says in verse 2 and 3. He intentionally charged Solomon in a similar way that God charged Joshua. In the same way that God charged Joshua. So if you look, in fact, you can look this. Look this with me. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. You're going to find that God charged Solomon. God charged Joshua the same way that David is charging his son Solomon. He says, do this. In Joshua chapter 1, if you can go there with me. Joshua chapter 1, he says, I want you to do this, Joshua, as you go into the land. The idea is this. He says, be courageous, Joshua. Do not be scared. Do not be afraid. He says, be courageous as you go into the land. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. Through 9, he says, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. Verse 7, he says, be strong, very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I have not commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So in the same fashion, David comes to Solomon and he says, be strong and courageous. Now we know that David had been speaking to Solomon and has been speaking to elders of Israel, as 1 Chronicles chapter 28 tells us, and he gave them specific instructions. In chapter 28 of 1 Chronicles, verse 9 and 10, David presents to Solomon. He says, I present to you the living God, the Lord of the covenant, and issues a call to Solomon to love the Lord and to decidedly walk in his ways. So what is involved in keeping the law of the Lord? What is involved in walking in the Lord's ways is to keep in constant consultation with him, to seek his guidance in any and all decisions that you make. So friends, do not let time slip by. Do not let time slip by. Don't leave this world full of regrets that at the end of your lives that you look back and you wish I wish I had done this. I wish I had done that. In fact, at the end of the lives, nobody says they wish they spent more time at work or more time playing golf or more time watching television. In the years of ministry, as I've said to people, some in the joyous and jubilant parts of life, others in the sad times of life. And I said to people who are about to depart this world, I will hear some say, they wish they had been there with their children. None have I heard say, I wish I was on a golf course a little bit longer, or I was in the office a little bit longer. But what I hear time and time again is, I wish I'd been there with my children. So this leads me to return back to what I want to encourage you, dads, this morning. Fathering, my friends, must be intentional. It must be intentional if we desire to leave a lasting legacy, if we desire to leave a lasting impact in this life and in a life to come. Fathering must be intentional. How so, you ask? And I'm glad you ask. I'm glad you ask because I'm going to suggest to you some of the things you may want to consider to be an intentional dad. Because of this, there is no better vocation in this life than to be an intentional dad. There is no replacement for the time you spend with your children. There is no substitute for the undivided attention you give them. This is also true of our relationship with God. There is no substitute for the time we spend with God. The time we spend with God in prayer and in a word is never wasted. This time helps us. It helps us set our priority and brings us a quality of life that sets all of our lives in the right direction. What can you then do, Dad, to be an intentional dad? Among the many things that you can consider, I want you to leave with this today. Choose to be there with your children. And when you are there with them, choose to do this. Choose to read to your children. Did I say read? Read. Choose to read to your children. Why? Because a child who does not learn to love to read will not learn to love to read the Word of God. It begins with reading. A child who does not know or love to read will not love to read the Word of God and will be cheated. Will be cheated out of the joy, out of the perspective, out of the power that comes from reading. The love of reading is a delight far more gratifying than the love of movies, than the love of computer games, which are not wrong by themselves, but will generally not develop the spiritual life you might desire for your child, though. Therefore, a love for reading must be instilled, dads, in the lives of our children. And let me tell you this. This does not develop easier later in life. It's something that you must begin much earlier. Now, don't be dismayed if you have not begun. I hope today you can be encouraged that one way to be intentional in the involvement in the life of your child is to read to them. Now, I want to say this too, so you don't want to check out. Moms, you join dad in this work. You join dad in this work by mirroring, by modeling how to read to our children. So be intentional, dad. Read to your kids. Mom, you are not exempt from this call. However, I am speaking this morning specifically to dad to say, do not let this go by the wayside. Because a child who learns to read and enjoys to read We'll read the Word of God, and we'll get to know God, and we'll get to love God. A few months ago, we had a series here talking about God's people and technology. And you heard all about what technology is doing to us and how it's turning us into illiterate people. Well, the teachers, I believe, mentioned that. So, today I'm saying to Dad, turn off the television, power off the devices, find some time to read to your children or to your child. Whenever necessary, use these devices wisely. The statistics show us a generation growing up without the love of reading, and that will never, if we grow up with a love, without the love of reading, that will never help us grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. If you don't intervene to teach your children to love Jesus, my question is, who will? Are you going to farm that to the church? Are you going to farm that to somebody else? That's the calling God has entrusted to you. And I'm saying today, dads, let's be at the forefront. Let's respond to the call. Let's fulfill the call. Because if we don't, nobody else will do it for us. If you don't intervene to teach your children to love Jesus, who will? It is fine, and don't take me wrong this morning. It is fine to enjoy a good movie or a good TV program once in a while. But will watching Survivor, American Idol, or The Bachelor, or whatever your favorite TV program may be, will that prepare your child to walk with God? I hardly think so. So even if your heart may have been broken by your child's rebellion, never give up on him or her. No matter how difficult their struggle, as long as they are alive, let me tell you, God can change them. God can change you. So the most loving thing you can do for them is to pray for your child. And this leads me to the second thought that I would like to leave with you today. And I want to encourage you with today. Fathering must be loving. What is the most loving thing you can do for your child or your children? It is to pray for them. It is to pray for them. Pray for your children. Sometimes the only best thing you can do for your children is to pray for them. Since God sits on the throne and your power is very limited, walk away from your own striving. Ask him, the one, the almighty, the all-powerful one. Ask God to do what he can do best and what you have failed to do. And how do you ask? You ask through prayer. Pray for your children. This is love. This is love. In addition to loving your wife, Dad, the mother of your children, another aspect of loving your children well, make every effort to not drift away from each other. Pray for your children. And together unite with your spouse to pray for your children. You know, I've noticed this. Sometimes husbands and wives grow apart and begin to develop their own lives as children grow older. I've noticed this because I spend some time talking with people and hearing people's stories. And as I'm listening to the stories, I can see the grain of where things are not going as God intended them to be. So I want to say, your children also see that. They will see when the drifting away begins to happen. And when they see that, they see the emotional, they see the intellectual gap between you and your spouse. This could make them very uneasy. And sometimes they might even exploit that to continue to align with one of the parents versus the other. So the best thing you can do for your children is to love God with all your heart And the second best thing I'm sharing with you today as dads is to love their mom. Love God with all your hearts and love their mom with all your heart. Finally, how do you show love? Dad, grandpas, how do you show love? Take the step to proof your marriage from sexual temptation. Many Christian fathers have messed up their spiritual heritage through their carelessness in this particular area of sexual purity. Now, you may be sitting there and you are thinking of your friends and you are saying, that cannot happen to me. It's unfortunate that it happened to so and so. But I want to challenge you. This is what those to whom it happened thought before it happened to them. Therefore, be alert. Take the necessary precaution to protect yourself, Grandpa. Take the necessary precaution to protect yourselves, Dad. What precautions? Take steps to proof your marriage from sexual temptation. We have to finish well, Dad. We have to finish well. It pains my heart that time to time, you read stories of the people that I personally and probably you look up to in ministry. And I mean ministry in a public stage, but you also have a ministry wherever God has placed you. We've done very well, and yet they failed to finish well because they did not take the steps to proof their marriage against sexual impurity. How do we deal with sexual temptations? How we deal with sexual temptation is a part of our spiritual heritage. And this is the third thought that I would like to leave with you today. Fathering must be spiritual. The practice of our spirituality may take many forms, but one of them that I would like to leave with us this morning is, Dad, we need to be grateful. We need to practice gratitude. As we practice gratitude, we need to teach our children to be grateful and to acknowledge the hand of God in providing for our needs. Do all you can to deliver your children from the entitlement mindset that is poisoning our culture today. What does the entitlement mindset say? It says something like this: I deserve this. That's not fair. This is mine, not yours. So, dads, grandpas, this morning, I want to encourage you. Let's teach our children not to be whiners, but to stand strong and be courageous, just like David tells Solomon. Let's be grateful. Let's be grateful to how God has been to us. Let's teach our children to say thank you. Teach them to know that money is earned. It does not grow on trees. Teach them all this thing. And of course, one thing is required of this lesson. You know what's required? This is what's required. It requires that we also be grateful. It also requires that we also be grateful. That we also acknowledge the goodness of God. Why? Because children may often fail to do what we say, but they will seldom fail to do what we do. Because when they see us do it, they also begin to do it, begin to copy it. So if we demonstrate a gratitude, our children also will be grateful. If we demonstrate courage, our children will also be courageous. Hence, David said to Solomon, be courageous Hence, God said to Joshua, be courageous. Not only do we need to teach our children to be grateful, but we also need to teach our children all to do this. Dad, we struggle with this. And I'll be at the front of the line confessing today that I struggle with this. And I know I'm not alone. What is it? Let's teach our children to confess and repenting. By confessing and repenting in their presence. Fathers, admit when you are wrong. And when you are wrong, say something like this. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I messed up. Please forgive me. I'm sorry I messed up. Please forgive me. It may teach your children more than it would have by never admitting our failings, and far more than pretending you don't fail. So being spiritual is being grateful. Being spiritual is repenting, admitting wrong, and saying, I'm sorry, I messed up. You know, in our strength, in trying to be macho and in trying to declare that we cannot repent, we cannot admit we are wrong. In fact, we are telling God that God is wrong, because in 1 John chapter 1, verse 4 through 8, there's something like this. It says, if we pretend to be without sin, we are making him to be a liar. But if we confess our sins, he says he's faithful and he's just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So dads, grandpas, to be spiritual, at least think of these two things. Be grateful to what God has done. Confess and repent of the failings. Grandfathers, maybe, grandfather, you may have a regret about not having been the best father. Well, be spiritual. Say you are sorry to your grandkids, to your grown kids, and ask God to help you be the best grandpa you can be. Loving, reading Bible stories to your grandkids and praying with them, influencing them to love Jesus. This is the ultimate legacy we can live. It is the ultimate legacy we can leave. Now, I know we talk about inheritance, we talk about monies, we talked about things that we can leave to our children. I don't want to mess you up this morning, but let me tell you, we can leave all those things, but if we do not leave a legacy that is enduring as a legacy to love God, to obey the word of God, all those things in the end will go. That is, they all will pass away. One thing will remain. It's them and the word of God and the faith that you instill in them. It is God who called you to the job of fathering and grandfathering. And it is God who will give you your final job evaluation, because he's the one who called you. When it's all said and done, it is his approval that matters most. And let me tell you this, he is quick to forgive, but he expects you to be quick to repent and follow him faithfully. He is a good father. And our fathering should model after him. That's who he is, and we are loved by him. He loves us, and he's quick to forgive us when we repent and acknowledge that we have done it wrong. This is what David promised to his son, Solomon. And in verse 10 of 1 Chronicle, verse 10 of 1 Chronicle chapter 2, hear these words. Now, in between the other things that David says, and we did not get into all of them, but hear this in verse 10. Then David rested with his ancestor and was buried in a city of David. He rested with his ancestor and was buried in a city of David. How can you do this? How can you be a faithful dad? How can you be a faithful grandpa? How can we be faithful parents? I believe this can be done only if we embrace the fact that apart from Christ, you and I can do nothing. Because this is what John tells us in John chapter 15. He says, Jesus is declaring that I'm the vine and you are the branches. And if you are hooked up with me, you are connected to me, you bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. It means that Father, Grandpa, all followers of Jesus Christ, we cannot do it in our own power, but we can do it in the power of Jesus Christ. Millions of years from now, should Jesus delay his return, or when he comes back, generation and generations after Jesus comes, if we follow these counsel that David gave to Solomon are being given to you today, that you had an opportunity to sit in a counseling room and you are listening to your benefit, you will sit at the king's table and celebrate what God has done. Do you want to be there? If you want to be there, fathers, you need to be intentional. If you want to be there, fathers, you need to be loving. If you want to be there, Father, you need to be spiritual. If you do so, the Bible tells us he is faithful. He is faithful until the end. Amen? May God bless you. Have a happy Father's Day in all that he has called you to do on this day.